Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. .com.
Sponsored by JFSR Group.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey sports station. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ryan Ugly's out. Brandon Scott is in. We're up here in New Caney at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Come through, hang out with us. In this 5 o'clock hour, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Sunday's game, Texans-Bills, along with two wristbands to the Bud Light tailgate. So everything. We'll take care of the game. We're going to take care of the party. All you got to do is figure out where the hell you're going to park. All you got to do is get there, and we take care of everything else. So our Bud Light will take care of everything else. Make sure your name is in the raffle box right up here. We'll do that shortly. Speaking of the game, Texans, Bills, the injury report is out. The Thursday injury report is out, which means they practiced heavy practice Wednesday. They practiced heavy practice Thursday, and now you've got an injury report here. I think that the things that stick out, Tank Dell has been limited on Wednesday. He's limited on Thursday, but in the audio from D'Amico Ryans yesterday, he was damn near giddy about the fact that Tank Dell is going to be available, as well as C.J. Stroud talking about getting him the football. So Tank Dell has been limited. He's listed as limited, but everything we're hearing from the team, B. Scott, it sounds like Tank Dell is going to be back. Now, to date, Tank Dell, when he was healthy, was more of a depth receiver, a little bit of a gadget receiver. I think there's an emphasis this week has been put on getting Tank Dell a little bit more involved in the offense, getting Tank Dell going in this offense. Because truth be told, the best Texans offense that we've seen, Tank Dell was doing work in last year.
Yeah, 100%. And when you talk about the areas in which the Texans have not unlocked, or like the weapons that have not been unlocked, we talk about the run game a lot. We are, as we sit right now, not all that sure if this is ever going to be a good run game. Like if between, you know, combination of backs not being healthy and the offensive line, cohesiveness, coaching, execution, whatever it is, we are just not in a space right now where we can say definitively, hey, this is a football team that can run the ball. Yeah. We don't know that yet. We do know that Tank Dell is good. We do know that C.J. Stroud is good. We do know that C.J. Stroud and Tank Dell have a connection. So that, to me, is something to worry the least about, other than just his, like, simple health itself. So as long as he's able to actually go out there and play football, you expect him to figure out a way to get Tank Dell, whether it's the gadget stuff or whether it's just explosives down the field or whatever it may be. I do expect them to tap into what they have in Tank Dell at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later.
I expect them to make the adjustment of quit trying to be so explosive down the field. I mean, hell, everybody in the NFL has been telling us for a month now that everybody's playing this two on the roof. Well, hell, quit trying to be so explosive and do what you did last year at a clip that nobody's done better than Brady other than C.J. Stroud, right? So, like, there, to me, Tank Dell's going to play into that right there. Tank Dell's limited. I think of note here again, the limited crew, there's several starting offensive linemen on this list. Titus Howard, hamstring, did not practice Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. He was not on this list Wednesday.
Right.
He was limited today. That's your right tackle, Titus Howard.
Which is curious, because it's like, okay, he was fine yesterday, and now he's on the injured list.
Might have tweaked something right there. Juice Scruggs, your center. He's got a hip issue. Limited both days, Wednesday and Thursday. Laremy Tunsil, ankle issue, did not practice Wednesday, was limited on Thursday. Big story there is that it's three of your starting five offensive linemen on this list.
Three of your five starting offensive linemen, and then essentially all three of your tackles, if you want to extend it past just your starters. Okay, Tunsil and Howard on the list. And then I understand that the rookie, Blake Fisher, did not look great when he had to fill in for Laremy Tunsil in the brief time that he did. But he's on this list as well. So three of your starting offensive linemen across the board and three of your tackles at large, just period.
Yeah.
Which to me is a bit of a concern, especially if we're already having a discussion about, hey, how good is this offensive line? Now you're telling me it's dinged up. It's not all the way healthy. I don't know exactly how that's going to impact him. But it doesn't make you feel great about a unit that already was leaving a lot to be desired.
Yeah, look, the two tackles that you got, there's no Von Miller in this game. The two tackles that you got, they should more than hold their own with the contracts they have and the ability they have. They should hold their own. The one I worry about here is Juice Scruggs, because an old boy that I believe is from up in these parts somewhere.
Ed Oliver?
Ed Oliver. He's up from right up here somewhere.
Well, no, so he's a little bit further. I think Westfield. I think he went to Westfield, okay. so he's a North guy.
Yeah,
he's
North. Yeah. So I mean, that guy's an absolute problem inside. So Juice Scruggs is going to have his A game to take care of business there. The other thing of note here is, boy, we keep talking about all these offensive positions: Tank Dell, all the offensive linemen, and now the running backs. Joe Mixon did not practice yesterday or today. Damian Pierce did not practice yesterday or today. Obviously, this conversation is about Joe Mixon, and this offense is just looks different when he's on the field.
Yeah, man, 100%. And I keep going back to this, and I feel like the last few weeks have kind of validated it. But even after that first game, Clint, when we did all of this celebrating of the Texans' offensive line, man, look how the offensive line made it happen for Joe Mixon and his 30 carries and 158 yards. I remember just thinking, man, but there is that stat out there that's saying 101 of those yards came after contact.
Yeah.
Which is to suggest Joe Mixon was just a badass that day. Right? Like, Joe Mixon was making a lot happen. And it's not to take away from what the offensive line was doing. It's just to not over-romanticize what they were doing either. And it's also to highlight the fact that Joe Mixon just adds a completely different element to the offense. And I would go even beyond that when you talk about him and Damian Pierce. Okay, Joe Mixon is your main guy. Damian Pierce is supposed to be the guy that you feel second most confident in. I know a lot of us had a conversation. For me, it was Cam Akers, okay? But for the team, it was Damian Pierce. You take away Joe Mixon, who's different from anybody in the group, and then Damian Pierce, who might be the best amongst just the rest of the guys in the group.
Yeah.
And that tells you a lot about the state of this running game right now between the offensive line not being right and then the running back group just being hurt and ineffective largely.
B. Scott, I think Toro just pulled up.
Toro?
He's right there behind that screen. I think Toro just pulled up. I didn't know Toro was coming.
Toro came out the new Caney?
I mean,
Toro keeping it real, man.
Unless y'all got somebody out here in New Caney running around in a Toro uniform.
Hey, Toro keeping it real coming out here.
Look, that's him right there. Isn't that him?
Oh, Toro, the bull is here, baby.
I'll be damned. I didn't know Toro was going to make an appearance.
Hey, that just tells you, good things come to those who wait.
There he is. Y'all give it up one time for Toro.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, come on. There he is.
Who put that phone call
hey,
in?
Hey, look out now. Hey, Bud Light. What do you think? I mean, it's unbelievable
That's what these guys are doing.
It's unbelievable what these guys are doing here.
Mascot of the year, by the way, a couple years ago. I want to point that out.
As well as Toro, absolutely. Were talking about the logo a little earlier. Hell, the mascot goes right along with it. It's obviously repping H-Town.
Yep, got the H-Town. We got the alternate uni on.
It's the repping H-Town game presented by Bud Light, and Toro's got the alternate uni jersey on, as well as Robert right here. Got his alternate uni Stroud jersey on, so... I'm telling you, you ought to be here. We got another pair of tickets to give away. Stop on through and hang out now. It's gonna be a fun last hour, and it's damn sure gonna be a fun Sunday. Easy out there, Toro. Don't stir them up too bad now.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Astros were eliminated yesterday from the playoffs, obviously, and yep. And I think one hot button topic here, one hot point here is how the Astros lost. Right, when you look at how the Astros lost, unfortunately, it was at the hands of the guys that we were all extremely excited about when the season started. The Astros go out and sign Josh Hader, make him the closer, move one of the most successful playoff closers in the game, Ryan Pressly, to the eighth inning,
right?
And we were all sitting around talking about, man, what in the world is Major League Baseball going to do with Abreu, Pressly, and Hader? Those three guys coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah,
the Astros literally had a lead when Pressly took the bump and gave up the tying run, and then Hader came in and gave up three more runs. That made it four runs in the eighth inning. The Astros are sent home. I've not heard this audio, but I'm curious to know what the hell Espada had to say about Pressly and Hader and their struggles.
No, that was the plan, all along. You got to give credit to those guys. They put in some good ABs together, and, they've been playing pretty good baseball since mid-August. So, credit to them. They play well, and they execute it well.
Yeah. So he gave it to Detroit.
Yeah, he's saying, look, I'm going to live and die with this group that they gave us. Like, I don't think Joe Espada, and this kind of going to our earlier discussion about, whether he's the guy. I don't think he's in a position to do anything different there. Like, there's not a different call to make once you have a lead in that situation. Yeah. The team is orchestrated and designed in such a way to where you want to have a lead late in the game and give the ball to, as you just said, Abreu, Pressly, and Hader. And they did exactly that. I know they were down early, but they take the lead there late, and then they hand the lead over to Pressly and Hader there at the end. So it's designed for you to win that game, and they couldn't make it happen. There's really nobody else to blame but the guys that did not perform and did not, come up big for you in that moment, the guys that you paid so much money to do exactly that. So, yeah, man, it hurts. I understand the house money aspect of this of – hey, the Astros at one point didn't seem like they were going to be in this position to begin with, but it does hurt when it feels like the guys that you relied on the most and paid the most and feel like you're supposed to trust the most were the ones that came up smallest in this moment. The lineup between, Jordan and really Kyle Tucker and the guys that didn't show up offensively, the offense entirely, and then to lose it on the backs of the back end of your bullpen. Just not a good feeling considering what your team invested in those guys.
Well, it's a bad feeling to lose, but I've said this from jump. If we, being the Astros, if we lose in the playoffs, and we lose in the playoffs because Altuve and Tucker and Yordan Alvarez go 0-for, and now it's easy to say those because it's what happened, even Bregman if we lose because the big bats in our lineup don't produce,
right,
then I'm just going to have to live with it.
Absolutely.
If we lose because Yordan Alvarez or Justin Verlander, if he were healthy, in the mix, if we lose because those guys don't bring their A game, then I'm just going to have to live with it. Like, and I, and I, I, I'm I bunch Presley and Abreu and Hader. If we viewed this season, if we lose games, if we lose series up 2-1 with Presley on the bump in the eighth and Hader on the bump in the ninth, then damn it, I just got to take my beer and go home.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's kind of a double edged sword, though, because, yeah, you will live and die with your star players. I think everybody will. But it does, at the same time, add to the disappointment, because those are the things that make you feel confident in your team. And it's not like you lost to the Yankees or to some team that you felt like, you know, was supposed to beat you.
Yeah.
I understand that the Tigers were the hottest, or one of, if not the hottest team in baseball leading up to that point. But you feel like you should have had more than that you should have at least offered more than that, given up a little bit more of a fight than that. That's the part that's disappointing to me.
Who do you like that's left? Yeah.
Man, I think it's on the American League side, I think it's the Yankees to lose at this point. I like the Yankees. I think that the Royals are an interesting team. Don't tell Ron that I said that. But I think that it's the Yankees to lose on the American League side. And then, dude, the National League is really interesting, because between the Dodgers, Padres, and I would say, man, even with the Mets and that Mets and Brewers series right now is in the National League is fascinating. If you are just a casual baseball fan and just want to watch, I would say the entertainment right now is in the National League. I feel like on the American League side, it's the Yankees to lose at this point.
Ooh.
Which I don't. Another thing I don't feel good about, right? Because the Astros are out of it. Now I got to start talking about how the Yankees are the favorite.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we got a Thursday night football game tonight, y'all. Speaking of my gamblers out there, we got a Thursday night football game tonight.
He's not talking about Sam Houston State and UTEP. That's just me that's going to be fixated on that. He's talking about the NFL game. Carry on with your NFC South. I'll be in my own little Conference USA world. Don't mind me, y'all.
All right. Look, I'm all right with that game. If you got a good bet, I'll take it. I mean, I've been known to be a degenerate from time to time. But the Bucs at the Falcons, this is – I mean, Kirk Cousins is getting healthier and healthier, and I think, you know, you watch the Falcons, and it's kind of been up and down like a lot of the NFL has been to date, but it seems like they're coming into their own. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a Baker fan. I'll be transparent. I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. I'm an underdog fan, and Baker, I think, has been that. I don't always agree with his antics that he partakes in all the time, but I'm a fan of the underdog. And boy, he's got some weapons in Tampa.
Yeah.
This is one of those off the beaten path games for me that I can thoroughly enjoy. I look forward to watching. Most games that don't have some level of this team plays the Texans, they're in the same division as the Texans, or this team is a top contender in the NFL and they're just a fun team to watch. Most of those games, I just kind of I got better things to do. Bucks and Falcons turn me on a bit.
I would say too, specific to the Bucs and Falcons, that for me, the NFC South has turned into what I thought the AFC South was going to be. And I was just flat out wrong. Let me just admit it. I thought the AFC South, not just the Texans, but the division as a whole, was going to be a lot better than what we've seen them be so far this year. So I'll just take the L on that. But the other side is the NFC South has been what I thought the AFC South would be. Full of teams outside of Carolina, but three of the four teams are all like scrappy teams that I feel like, hey, you know, maybe you're not picking them. Maybe they're not the favorite to do this, that, or the third. But they're also the team that you don't necessarily want to go up against. The team that can muck it up a little bit for you. And to the point about Baker, you got a dog at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got a dog at quarterback. How you love that? And then, of course, Derek Carr having somewhat of a I know they come down to earth the last couple of weeks. But the Saints, the first couple of weeks, looking like they could possibly be the best team in football. And like you mentioned, Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, I think for the most part, are a pretty well-rounded football team. Now, I'm not going to fall for the Atlanta Falcons banana in the tailpipe that is every year that they get good. I'll never do it. But at least in terms of entry, solid football team, solid quality football to watch, give me an AFC South show. Oh, I'm sorry, an NFC South showdown that does not include the Panthers any day of the week. I'll take it.
Yeah, look, I think it's two dangerous football teams. I don't think they're contending, obviously, but two dangerous football teams that are talented enough on any Sunday to beat a team that is contending. So,
Just thank you, NFL, and your broadcasting partners for giving us a Thursday night game that's worth a damn.
Yeah.
That's worth our time.
Bucks 3-1. Falcons sitting at 2-2. Ought to be an interesting game. It's in Atlanta tonight. So that should be a good one. All right, we're going to give away a cooler and a chair in this next break. If you can hear this, we're going to give away a pair of tickets and a couple wristbands to the tailgate party. We'll do that. We'll do that in probably about 5:30. So you got about 15 minutes to get up here. But you can come up here, get this cooler and this chair, and those tickets. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
That's right. Ron Ugly is out. Brandon Scott is in. I refer to him as Skeezy, but for all the listeners out there, I want to be professional and correct. It's Brandon Scott.
It's my government name.
Another one, Travis Johnson, former Houston Texan, former D lineman. We call him Trap, but again, I'll call him Travis just to be correct here.
Yep.
Even though I know he don't give a damn what I call him. As long as I don't call him late for dinner, right?
Hey, no, hey, I know I was late. Hey, listen, that traffic over here was. New Caney is up here, man. Y'all, hey, y'all are up here, man.
Yeah, man.
Y'all passed Conroe, ain't it?
Was to the side.
To the side. Adjacent.
Somewhere adjacent.
I need to go pick my RV up. I'm waiting on them to finish servicing it over there at the RV spot. But, you know, that's another topic. That wasn't the impulse buy, though.
Hey, we're going to get into these. Yeah, impulse buy. We're going to get into the Texans here in a minute. But impulse buys. We were talking about this earlier. Trap, almost, I don't know if you saw it when y'all pulled in. Right on the corner here, there's an old boy that is selling puppies.
Hey, those are always a good thing. You know what's funny is one time I almost bought a pony. Like a little miniature pony.
This is actually the least surprising thing I've ever heard. I can definitely see you almost buying a miniature pony.
Listen, the guy was on the side. So, you know, you go on a hobby on, you get off a telephone on a hobby.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the guy was on the side of the road over there with like these miniature ponies. I called my wife like, hey, I need to buy this pony. And she's like, what are we going to do with a pony? You got two Rottweilers the size of ponies. I said, man, the pony is the pony. We got babies. What happened when the babies can't ride the pony?
Now, let me ask, was this a thing about you always wanting a pony, or were you in some kind of state of mind?
It just was there.
Okay.
And the dude was selling for like $200. Yeah, it's like the first Polaroid camera I ever bought. I bought from a crackhead in Tallahassee. He asked me for $10. I told him I had three. I had the 10, but I said, I got $3. He said, but I'm giving you some film with it. I said, I got $3 for you. I still got the Polaroid to this day. Still taking pictures. It's the greatest Polaroid camera I ever bought.
Takes you back memories, man. Takes you back to that day.
Because he wasn't selling on value. He was just trying to accumulate a number.
No question.
Three was going to be the next number he was going to be adding
to. No question.
Absolutely.
Hey, so we got, I damn near picked this puppy up over here. You're fixing to buy the
What kind of puppy?
It was a mini golden doodle.
Oh, those are good puppies, high-end dollar puppies.
Yeah. Well, when I found the price out, that helped me make the decision, but my wife wouldn't have been happy either way it goes. But they were cool. They were 7 weeks old, man, little bitty dudes.
How much are you selling it for?
$2,800.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not buying a puppy on the side of the road for $2,800.
That dude was official. He's got a true AKC and all that. 2 year health guarantee. He has everything.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I checked on him before. Okay. Before I seriously considered anything more than just holding the dog, I checked in on it. No, it was legit.
Yeah.
But $2,800, that'd be much of an impulse buy for my bride.
Do you have dogs, though?
We've got one that she had. That I married into.
So you never bought a dog like a purebred dog or a bred dog.
No, I've never purchased a dog.
I bought a Rottweiler. My Rottweiler Dabu. He was a plum fool. My first Rottweiler I bought in college it wasn't a crackhead, but it wasn't too far off.
Yeah,
it was like $200.
Crackhead adjacent.
And no question, she was the greatest Rottweiler ever. Then I bought Dabu from this breeder. He was huge. He ended up getting big. But I mean, it cost me $5,000 for that dog. And it was, I mean, it's the prettiest dog you ever seen. But it just was like, man, why did I pay $5,000 for this dog? Yeah. You know what I mean? The only good part is, a couple years later, he got tested, and they was like, oh, he got hip dysplasia. So the breeder actually gave me my money back.
Well, because I couldn't breed. You got a best friend and your money.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah.
The problem, back to the pony, especially right over there at Hobbyway, you might buy it as a miniature pony, and you wake up one day and you got a full blown. That thing's tall as you are.
Yeah. And it's a horse, no question.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right. That's a true statement.
By the time you get that bad boy home, it don't look the same as when you bought it.
I didn't even know how I was going to get it home, because I was going to try to lift it and put it in the back of the truck. You know what I'm saying? And the wife was like, dude, you don't have no trailer, no nothing.
Yeah, man, you need a horse trailer, man. Yeah, you can't buy the horse.
I
no
got a
trailer.
Stock trailer, but the stock trailer, I can't put the horse in the stock, regular stock.
Hey, let's hit these Texans real quick, man. I know you're close to the organization, Trap, but I think big picture for me, B. Scott and I have been talking about this a couple times today. I think this is the biggest game of the D'Amico Ryan's head coach era. There's been some games that were playoff games. There were some games to get in the playoffs. But when we're talking about like narrative changing types of games, this is it. Everybody in the NFL world, both locally and nationally, has had the Texans in the same class as the Bills and in the top five teams in the NFL. And this is the first opportunity, in my opinion, since they've been relevant, since it wasn't that Cinderella season last year where it's,
would
all right
you,
now.
Would you call it a Cinderella season, though?
Last year?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why?
I mean, it was the most dysfunctional organization I'd ever been around. I've been around some dysfunctional organizations now.
But see, here's the thing, though, man. Most teams, and you've been around good teams, they're a reflection of leadership.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
so, once you bought D'Amico in,
yes.
I think once 59 stepped in the building, once Cap stepped in the building, it was no longer the same team. So it was going to always be, everybody's always, like we always say, man, you're a reflection of your leadership from positions to head coaches.
Yeah.
And once you got a guy in there that coached the way he coached and that was a player the way he played, he commands respect in a different light.
Yeah, yeah.
They understand him in a different light, and they're going to play for him differently.
But Trappin was still a nuisance. And so you know it intimately because you know D'Amico played with him and know him and everything, but we still had not seen D'Amico in this role. He had never failed in anything he had ever done.
And that's what I bet on. Is because
right,
I play – because so when they got hired, everybody's like, what is it going to be like? I'm like, he's going to win 10 games at least. And everybody started laughing like, no, man, we just barely – like whatever we want. I'm like, dude, I'm betting on him.
Because I
know what he does. So right now, I do agree with you about this is probably the most important game.
Right. Let's say this. I mean, I'm talking from an expectation standpoint.
Oh, yeah,
nobody expected the Texans to do what they did last year.
You're right.
Fast forward to this year, everybody from jump has expected them to be one of the top three teams and three or four teams in the AFC and some even top five team in the NFL.
Because they anteed up on top of it.
And this is the game to me where those expectations meet the opportunity for the team to actually prove it,
yes.
With Buffalo coming to Houston. This is a monster game, is my point.
Of course, it is. I mean, when you're talking about, and to be honest, this would have been the game. I understand why we had Chicago, and you got two former number one picks playing against each other.
Prime time.
You put them on prime time, but I'm trying to figure out why this game isn't prime time. When you got a guy like C.J. Stroud, who we know C.J. Stroud right now is a top five quarterback in the NFL, and then you got Big Allen over here in Buffalo, who he's a top, you know, top five, top ten guy. I don't have my numbers in front of me to say who's who.
He's arguably the leader in the clubhouse.
No, Josh Allen? Right,
yeah, Josh Allen. Yeah, no, he's top five.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, he's MVP candidate right now.
You know, so when you look at what this team is and where we're trying to go, yes, it is definitely one of the biggest. It's the biggest game for this year. But, you know, in my Bill Belichick way and the way I would like to say, hey, listen, every game is just as important as the next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in the NFL, you know, we watch as a 10 team, you know, a 10 win Cleveland team back in the day didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So we know every win is important. I think this win shows for the fans is like, you know what? These guys are here. These guys are here to stay. But win, lose, or draw, I still believe like it's not going to define the season. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I think they're going to go out there. They're going to give everything they got to go scratch your call for a win. And we know how hard that is in the NFL just to get a win by any stretch of the mat. You can play the worst. I don't even know who's the worst team in ball right now. The Jags? I mean, maybe not the Jags.
Carolina.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's going to be a team losing Carolina. It's not expected to lose to Carolina this year.
The Texans did it last year.
And everybody's going to say, well, how did we lose to Carolina?
Yep.
Listen, everybody else, they pick up their check every Tuesday like everybody else in the league. And it's just a matter of them putting stuff together.
Yeah, look, I think to me this – and I understand the game-to-game, week-to-week thing, but as it pertains to the Texans, bro, this is a narrative-changing game. And I think as fans and as former players – I mean, you watch the game. The Texans have been, and this is D'Amico's words, not mine. The Texans have been sloppy, messy. It's not been good all year long. If you follow that up with, and I don't think they have to win, but if you follow that up with a poor performance against a team that you've been neck and neck with all year long from a narrative perspective, I think it could potentially end up defining the season. I think this is just a game that is bigger than just the next game for the Texans.
And see, Trapp, I think that they know that they've left a lot of meat on the bone.
Oh, no question.
So like, this is an opportunity to kind of rectify that a little bit. Like, hey, we managed to make it to 3-1 through 4 weeks of the season yet to play our best football. Now we're going to play against the best team that we faced up until this point, and arguably, certainly one of the best teams in football. This is the time to put our best film on tape.
Oh no, I see what you did there with the meat on the bone while we were sitting here in Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, I'm a wordsmith,
man. So you a wordsmith right now. But you know, I agree. I mean, and that was you made the point, exact point I was gonna make is that for us to be 3-1 right now and have played the way we played, they haven't played great, they played sloppy, they've had pre-snap penalties that's uncalled for.
They've had, the league and penalties.
You know, it's a bunch of stuff, and that you say, These things should cost us games. Mm-hmm. But I think it speaks volumes about how good they are and how good they can be if they still continue to overcome those things.
Yep.
Now it's a matter of just once again, I say that all the time, bow your neck and earn your check. Listen, guys, we need you to be a pro's pro. We don't care about the reason why you're doing the things that you're doing. Stay on sides.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Attack the quarterback. Don't get face masks. Don't get holding penalties. Move your feet. Do all the things that you know how to do. The reason why you guys are pros, pros, and let's win this game the way you're supposed to win the game. And I think that is, you know, and of course, I know Miko, if anything, I know Miko's been on them more than anybody in the world has been on them. And so it's going to be an awesome game to watch. I can't wait to be in the building.
Yeah, man.
That's Trav Johnson, former Houston Texan, Travis Johnson. I'm sorry.
Are you good, bro?
And that's B. Scott on the other side. He's in for Ron Ugly.
You got our government names on the first reference, baby. They caught that.
They good. It's Trav J. And what they call Sheezy?
Skeezy.
Oh, hold on. Like Skeezers?
Yeah, man.
Like hey, listen, if his nickname's Skeezy, we know what he gets out
with. Oh, boy. I tell you, we're getting loose. It's getting close to 6 o'clock. All right. We got some tickets to give away, and then we got some penalties to talk about, which Trap just mentioned, and we got Alex Bregman to talk about. We'll do that on the backside of this. We'll give away some tickets.
And go Dodgers.
Now that the Astros are out, we'll let you say that. But we've got to give away some tickets. Courtesy of Bud Light. Got a big group here. Some lucky winners going to be at the game Sunday and going to be tailgating in style. All right, we'll do that next right here on Sports Radio. All right, we're fresh out of tickets, y'all. We're fresh out of tickets. We're fresh out of wristbands. The ice chest and the fold-out chair. Big shout-out to Bud Light for making all that happen. Big shout-out to Buffalo Wild Wings for having us. This is a great location up here in New Caney. Just because we're leaving at 6 doesn't mean that anybody out there listening can't come in. Now, there's Thursday night football. Hell, you got Friday night college football. We know what goes on Saturdays and Sundays. The lounge vibe in Buffalo Wild Wings is my kind of joint. So just wherever you're at, if there's a Buffalo Wild Wings right around the corner, make sure you stop through and hang for a few. We got Travis Johnson, former Houston Texan, with us, and I want to hit this with you because I think there's a different perspective as a former player, obviously, and there's a different perspective as a guy that played in the trenches and at the defensive line position. The Texans right now are the most penalized team in the NFL. The Texans are number one with 10 penalties per game. The Ravens are number two at 9.8 penalties a game. The Dolphins are number three at 9 penalties a game. And it doesn't matter if you're the Texans, the Ravens, the Dolphins, it doesn't matter who the hell you are. The rate in which the Texans have been penalized, you're not going to win games. You're not going to win at a level to get you to the playoffs and be able to win in the playoffs the way that the Texans have been penalized. And I think I want to go specific with you, Travis, because I'm at a point where with what we've seen with the Texans from a penalty perspective, the fact that it's on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the football, it's been made a Laremy Tunsil problem, but reality, it's a Texans problem.
Yeah.
In my opinion, in my experience, I no longer think this is a D'Amico Ryans problem.
No, it's never D'Amico Ryans problem because at the end of the day is, and of course, Miko is going to take the blame as being the head coach. That's what good head coaches do. But in all actuality, as a guy who's been in the locker room, any locker room, That's a you problem. That is a if you can't stay on sides problem, then whose fault is that?
Yeah.
Did you know the cadence?
Yeah.
On the offensive side, you the only one who know the cadence. Now on defense, we tend to jump a little bit more because we always say 9 times out of 10, you're gonna go on one. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's in a situational time, you're not trying to go on two, go on three, or you know, second sound like they do in like elementary school ball or some foolishness like that. You know what? Let's line up, let's get it started, let's go. You know, and it's got to be ownership on each other. It's got to say at some point somebody else has got to hold the guys in the room accountable to say, hey, listen, brother, the first thing we can do is go on Hutt. You know what I'm saying? The second thing we can do is not go if it's not said Hutt yet. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's where we got to look at it as saying, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to sit there and hold him accountable? Because in the day is if the guys in the locker room won't hold him accountable, he'll never stop. whoever it is. Yep. On defense, on offense, when I used to jump off sides, Kubiak used to lose his mind. At one point, I jumped off like 2-3 times in practice. Them dudes started practice over. Yep. And it wasn't Kub that said start practice over. It was the guys on defense. Miko was like, hey, man, we're starting practice over. Like, Trav, man, come on, man. Stay on side. Just wait for the ball.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, man, I'm thinking they're going to go on one. Why am I waiting?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they holding that count.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I think it's one of those guys where everybody has to take ownership is saying, what am I going to do to help us get better?
Well, it's so often, and I understand it, but it's so often that, like, with DeMeco is, you know, we get hung up on what he said in the press conference right after the game, and how's he going to address it, and hell, I even had opinions on what you do in the moment with Laremy Tunsil when it just keeps happening time and time and time again. But in reality,
what'd you thought?
I would like to have seen him benched when he can't get on the line of scrimmage. Yeah, and the excuses that he made afterwards. Yes, I personally would have liked, but I know that's unrealistic.
He wasn't on the end line of scrimmage because end of the day is you and I both know tackles are going to give as much as, and
sure.
And when I saw it on film, I didn't think he was lined up in the backfield. I thought he was still on the line of scrimmage. He still got his head across the center's waistline.
But to me in that instance, like Titus Howard handled it perfectly. Titus Howard, he handled it in the moment perfectly, and he handled it with his comments after it perfectly. We feel like we're getting targeted. We're getting made an example of. Yeah. He said, but I scooted up damn near even with the guard.
Yeah.
And you watch the film, you can tell like Titus moved all the way up. And for whatever reason, it didn't get addressed that way with Laremy. And I think
when you look at Laremy, and you look at Laremy's skill set, Laremy is one of the best pass blocking tackles in the league. But when you look at what makes him great, like Laremy's built like a defensive lineman. Like he's not built like the traditional offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's not Mount McKinney. He's not Orlando Pace. He's not those big mountain of guys.
Yes.
So, in my opinion, it's always, like, even when he was in Miami first and even when he's been here, it's not – and let's get into it. He can do a little bit better job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And of staying on sides. And we don't know if the quarterback changes the cadence just a tad bit. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt on all of those things. But what we do know is because he's an undersized tackle, in my opinion, he's trying to get his feet set before those guys get out of there. You know, like I know, I got to beat you to this spot to be able to get a win. So he's trying to anticipate when the snap is, and he's doing like he's. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. When it comes to that, but I think it's sometimes you got to be able to. The clock in your head is a little bit off,
sure,
and you're not off by much, but you off. You know what I'm saying? So it's like almost saying like I got to fix this one point, and maybe he's trying, maybe he's not. But at the same time, I think it has to get fixed at some point. But I understand it has to get fixed without putting yourself at disadvantage. Like if you get a tackle that's literally on the ball and he's not giving anything, 9 times out of 10 you get the right person out there. Well, he gonna whoop you behind.
But Trap, the point is that if you're Laremy Tunsil, the problem is the sheer number, the volume, and the other problem is in the game. All you gotta do is look at the official and make sure you're all right and get it okay.
So the
point is it's avoidable. And look, I said in a conversation we had, it's a $50 fine. Leave it right here, Bob. The conversation, like I would love for the coach to be able to go, hey, Laremy, come over here and stand by me. That's not realistic.
No,
it's not happening. It's not ideal for the team. It's not ever going to happen. That's why I said to me, the penalty issue, it has to be fixed, and it's not about DeMeco Ryans benching somebody or DeMeco Ryans like the Sims kid last week. He fumbles a punt, and then he gets a 15-yarder for throwing an elbow at somebody. It's like the answer is comes from within for me. It's not about DeMeco Ryans.
No, it's you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, man, am I screwing up?
Yeah.
End of the day, what am I going to do?
We're going to find out, Trev. We're going to find out about C.J. Stroud and Laremy, because to me, it's their problem. It's C.J., it's Laremy, it's Will, it's Daniil Hunter, it's Azeez Al-Shaair, who we've heard. Azeez is the one to me I could see him getting real vocal and real animated about, damn it, defensively.
Oh, yeah.
The 15-yarder's got to quit.
Because it hurts.
Right.
You can't win with it. I hear you over here.
Okay, Herm.
No,
all right, Herm.
Mike Singletary. Don't want to win with him. But
that's
no,
right.
I think that is the part where you want a guy, because I know we were in that locker room, And I know other locker rooms we've been in. It's somebody to grab you up and be like, hey, man, listen, we can't do this, yeah. man. Like it's killing us. Mm-hmm. And that's all penalties. Whether it be, you know, the face mask trying to get a guy down. Someone's like, move your feet, bro.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, that, it happens, but you're still like, man, don't even worry about it. Pat him on the back. Let's get him next time. You know, but when you start talking about we go from second and short to second and long. Or third and short to third and long.
Or first down, a big explosive is wiped out.
Yeah, wiped out.
Because of a hold or because of a
or you say because you weren't on the line of scrimmage and they didn't stop the play before it even got started.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, so that's the hardest. It's the game, but then you look at it like, bro, you're all pro. Yeah. You're an all pro. You're all everything. You top five tackle in the league right now. Like, we need you to be that. You can't give us 100 yards in the negative, to start off the game, because now it kills us.
But, Trapp, you see, I think from a fan perspective, I see what's frustrating trying to figure out what does accountability look like when you've got a head coach that you know is a real leader and that you believe in D'Amico Ryan. So you don't have questions about that. You got these players who are accomplished and got all these pelts on the wall, so it's no questions about that. So where is the lack of or the gap in accountability at, and what does it exactly look like when guys aren't measuring up? Because I know for a fact, D'Amico, about as much yelling as you can actually do to another grown man, and we understand there's only going to be
But Miko's not a yeller as
That's
a
what I'm
coach,
saying.
though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about as far as the discipline side of it. He's done that. Like, whatever he's going to do in terms of, hey, man, you need to get your you-know-what together, D'Amico's already done that. Because we're 4 weeks into it, and it hasn't changed. So, okay, once the coach does it, and we already trust the coach to do it, what does accountability look like amongst you, yourselves, the players, looking in the mirror and finally saying, hey, this is not going to be acceptable amongst ourselves? Well, like, we're going to hold ourselves accountable.
It becomes a group thing. You know, when you remember how offensive linemen used to be? You talk to the media, you get fined. You do this, you get fined. It's going to be a group thing where they're going to have to put exorbitant fines in each room for certain things. And like, until it's stuff that the public won't see, but it's stuff that ends up paying for vacations at the end of the year.
And it gets somebody's attention for sure.
It gets, because if every penalty I get fined 10 grand.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, listen, we're not even playing this anymore.
I mean, all joking aside, I think this is going to be like, this issue could end up being a big plus for the Texans. Because I don't want to speak for you, Trapp, but like the better football teams that I played on had an alpha leader in every meeting room. Like every single – they may not have been an All-American. Yeah. May not have been a great player, but they had somebody in that room like you. It was like, hey, fellas, I mean, what the hell are we doing? We're not going to be the reason why this continues, right?
Oh, of course.
And so the Texans are at a spot where they're building this thing, and you got to wonder, like, do they have – because that is like next-level, true championship type of leadership and caliber of a football team.
Exactly.
This is a moment for them to show that, hey, we've got – like, if they come out this week and play really well, win, lose, or draw, play really well against Buffalo, and they've got four or five penalties – That's a huge plus. That's a huge win for the Houston Texans.
Of course. And anytime you play, and listen, man, and I'll tell this like this. Anytime you playing the game hard, you're going to get penalties. Now it's depend on what side of the bed the referee woke up on, you still going to get penalties.
Kenyon Green had one last week that I was fine with. He got one illegal man downfield, but just trying to find work.
So no question. At it. But go ahead. I think it can be fixed. You know, and I know we up against it. You know, I'm not a regular, so I ain't got no bills to pay. But, you know, I think it'll be fixed, man. I trust this team. I trust the guys in the locker room.
All right, there you have it. That's Travis Johnson, former Houston Texan. Give it up for him one time. That's Brandon Scott in for Ron Ugly. Ron Ugly's headed home, though. Ron Ugly's headed home. Don't want to put too much on the business on the street, but Ron Ugly's headed home. Home in Houston. Home in Houston. We'll get you... we'll get you caught up and up to speed on all of that next time. But right now, Texans All Access, 6 to 7 p.m. John McClain, Hall of Famer, joins to preview the Bills-Texans game. Thursday night football coverage begins after that at 7 p.m. courtesy of Westwood One. Bucks-Falcons right here on Sports Radio 610. Thanks, everybody out there, for making it happen. Bud Light, Buffalo Wild Wings, all our listeners, thank y'all so much. Greatly appreciate y'all. Until then, Houston, we love you, baby. And I know it's gonna
be. It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.